We're going to try to discuss the questions today of Yichus, Goy, Gershon, Skyer. The question for Parasa Shalom B'Kedusha, I don't know if we're going to finish all of them, whatever, we'll have to spill over a little bit probably till Tuesday. Mishpachat Sa'im, but again, I don't want to get too bogged down. Levi and Kuhuna. Maybe I'll start with the easier ones first so we can finish them off. Then after that, for the last 2 weeks, I want to discuss mostly the Pidyon HaBen, since we did Bechor L'Nachla. Basically, we've done Bechor L'Nachla, now we're doing some of these other issues that come up here, and they're very important applications of these very basic ideas of Yuchsin and so on. But I want to spend most of the last 2 weeks on the actual Pidyon HaBen parts. So we're going to start with kind of a general overview. So if you can go through the major Gemaras, these three Da'apim, Mem Zayin, Mem Ches, Mem Tes, Nun, these three, four Da'apim, just the Shaka Vitaria. And I'm going to start off with the topics of the Chiyuv Ha'av as opposed to the Chiyuv HaBen. And again, this is one of the mitzvahs HaBen Ala'av that's recorded in the Mishnah in Kiddushin of Chav Tesim at Beis. It's very ironic, as I've said in the past, that on the one hand, it's it's defined by Petar Rechem Shel Ha'Eim. And we'll see today the Gemara, of course, on Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, that even when there's a clash between the father's pedigree and the mother's, Yisrael versus Levia, even then, according to one day in the Gemara, which we paskin like, we normally say Mishpacha Sa'av Kriya Mishpacha, Mishpacha Sa'im Lo Kriya Mishpacha, but we paskin that, like the day in the Gemara, that says that if she's a Levia, then there's a patur of Pidyon HaBen because it's Petar Rechem. So on the one hand, the focus is very much her, and it's on the Leda, as we've been discussing, and it's her Bechor, as opposed to his Bechor, in the context of, or contrast to Nachala. So on the one hand, all of that is true. On the other hand, it's the Chiyuv Av. It's not the Chiyuv of the mother. That itself is very interesting. So we want to focus a little bit on to what extent that really is the Chiyuv Av. Is the Chiyuv Av continued to be important even if the father dies? And also whether that matters, the other aspect of it, Tochar La'achar Shloshim Yom. Normally a Nefel, who is not a Bar Kayama, doesn't have a Pidyon HaBen, that's the halacha. What about Toch Lamed? Is there any chalos pidyon Toch Lamed Yom? And let's say the father dies Toch Lamed Yom, what impact does that have? So, of course, that begins with the Gemara here on Mem Zayin Amud Beis. Excuse me. But this case, this very interesting case here, it makoin shemes v'niach ben chalol. Whether HaBen Chayiv Liftos Es Atzmo, Ravuna Amar Ein Chayiv Liftos Es Atzmo. So it begins with this Shakla Vitari here on Mem Zayin Amud Beis. But it picks up with some other issues that that come up along the way. So that we'll do like a general survey of what there is left in the Pidyon HaBen parts, which is considerable. But we'll start with the first two topics, or topic really it's connected, will be the Chiyuv of the father and the question of Shloshim Yom. And we'll also just do a survey, I'd say, some of the issues, whether the process and the transaction of Pidyon HaBen conforms with other Dinei Mamonos transactions or not. What about some of the famous issues, Shlichus and Matano Menas L'Hachzir and Shtar Admei and Shtar in general. So that'll be the focus going forward for the last couple of weeks. Okay. Now let's get back to what we have to. We still have a big agenda before us, so let's start with that. Firstly, I wanted to mention, Yoni had mentioned a couple of times, the discussion of the Griz, both in Hilchos Nachlos and a little bit here in the beginning of this parak in Bechor, about Yakir and Leida and Padachas. Again, I don't want to speak so much about it because I don't want to get too far afield. Mostly what we did, I think, covers the basic issue, but the Griz was medayik in the Rambam that we already mentioned, that the Rambam only quotes the din of padachas in the context of the father, of this child being born in the life of the father. Again, this pashas of the Gemara here on Membav Amud Beis is that the machlokas or Yochanan and Reish Lakish about padachas is a question of whether or not the child that comes after, if it's yatza padachas. So according to Reish Lakish, padachas poteres b'chol mokom chutz min anachla, because of Yakir, lacking Yakir. And Rabbi Yochanan says, afilu l'nachla. So the simple reading, and this is how Rashi interprets, is that the machlokas revolves around the second, who will be the Bechor, the child who is Yotzot B'Padachas, or the next child. The Rambam quotes this halacha in a different context, and that's based on the Gemara on Kuf Membeis and Bava Basra that we said, which is that the Yolda Lo means that the Leda has to take place while the father is still alive. If the Leda takes place after the father dies, then there's no Bechor. So the Rambam says in that context, but if it was Yotza Padchaso Bechaye Ha'av, even if the actual, you know, real Leda, I guess, is L'achar Misaso, that would be fine and good. So the Rebbe has a discussion about that machlokas. It's a little bit of a strange discussion in one respect, and that is, in a way, he's really comparing the Rambam, who paskins like Rabbi Yochanan, to Rashi, who's speaking, you know, within Reish Lakish. That's a little bit problematic. What he wants to suggest is that, you know, that the Rambam speaks about the, again, well, I think what you'd have to say, although he doesn't really relate to this point, is that the maybe according to the Rambam, you can point to the Rambam, maybe it can be medayik that the debate between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish is only regarding this issue. And that even Reish Lakish would never say that that if it's Yotza Padachas and there's no Yakir, that that means that the second, that the child who comes afterwards would be the Bechor. I think this is what you have, this is just reconstructing Revelvel, this is I think what you have to say. The fact that the Rambam quotes Rabbi Yochanan, in other words, in the context of Leda Bechaye Ha'av, and not in terms of the question of what would happen if another child was born after the first child was Yotza Padachas, I think from there the Rebbe is being medayik that the Rambam felt that even according to Reish Lakish, the second child would never be the Bechor. Okay. And that's where Rashi disagrees. So that's where he assumes that there's a machlokas between, but it's lav dafka. I mean, it could be that Rashi, that the Rambam, because he paskins like Rabbi Yochanan, is just applying this halakha. You know, it's, once he paskins like Rabbi Yochanan, and that means that padachas is koveya, so the Rambam's explaining where and why. And even then, it's interesting that he does it this way. But I think that's, number one, what you have to say, that mid Rabbi Yochanan nishma le Reish Lakish, according to the Rambam. So then what is the machlokas between them? So he suggests that maybe the debate is as follows, that the Rambam didn't like the idea, if padachas is considered leida b'kala Torah kula, and it is, even according to Reish Lakish, it's considered leida, the one exception being yakir, so how would it be possible that you have a leida rishona, and then the child of the leida shnia is going to be the bechor? That's impossible. If the padachas of the first precedes the second, and there is a leida, it can't be that the second child that is born is going to be the bechor. What does that have to do with yakir? Yakir could be an additional condition for the bechor himself. Maybe he's not a bechor if there's no yakir. But you're going to say because there's no yakir for the first child, the second child born is going to be a bechor because he has yakir? That far you can't go. That's what the Rambam was trying to avoid. The Rambam was trying to avoid the idea that Yakir alone, irrespective of Leda Rishona, would be Koveya for Bechorah. And that Rashi disagrees, because Rashi thinks, this would be interesting, that again, in theory you could say Rashi disagrees, even if there is such a Machlokas, because Rashi thinks in Achanami, you can have a child who's second in Leda, but is first in Yakir. Right, just like we have Libo Dava. I mean, Libo Dava is a Leda, right? But it's not considered a Bechor. So maybe the second child would be the Bechor. I mean, that's the question. Is only the first child is not, or that the second child would be? So number one, perhaps you could just argue on that point itself. Maybe Yakir is so fundamental that that even in a Leda Shnia there could be a Yakir. Of course, here it's a little bit different. We have two live children. So you have, you know, again, the older one walking around, you know, and he's not the Bechor. So that's strange. Again, we had this according to the Gra in the last year, right, because you have the first child born, but not the first Zera, Reishis Ono, and he's also not the Bechor. But that's, of course, if normally, you know, that's a little bit of a different case. There you could say, yeah, because we define Bechor in terms of Zera, and that comes before everything. Here you have a Leda Rishona, and only then you have a later Yakir, So the second, the later Yakir is going to trump the earlier later. That is more peculiar, but it's not impossible to say according to Rashi. But Ravol doesn't like that because he didn't like it to begin with. And namely, doesn't, and I understand it, he doesn't like the idea that you could have a Bechor who's not the later Rishona. So what he suggests, which is an interesting thing, is that Rashi holds that Yakir redefines Leda for Bechor. That's Leda's Bechor, that it is considered Leda's Pashut. But then you have an interesting situation where you have a Chalos, Leda's Pashut and Leda's Bechor. And you have the child, you know, the Yotza Padkoso, and he is Leda Rishono Linian Pashut. But it's lacking, it's not a Leda's Bechor. There's something called a Chalos Leda's Bechor. Leda's Bechor is defined by Yakir. I would just add that if you want to say that Pshat, so it works nicely into what we've been discussing, which is why originally I was going to leave it, but namely this whole idea that, again, like we said about the Ahuva and the Snua, and like we said about the question of Yibum and the Rambans and so on, namely that Bechor is a different kind of a Chalos. It's a different, the relationship to the, it's not just a Din and Nachala, it's a din in, you know, family structure and the relationship to the father. So the idea that that would also redefine, the Yakir would define the Leda, as what's called, something called Leda's Bechor. And that's like, that's a moment in time. And that's a Chalos, that would work well as well. So if you hold our Velvel's reading of Rashi, again, I think it reinforces the general idea. Okay, let's move on now to the more... I call them universal questions of Yichus and Leda and so on. Let's at least begin with this. If we don't finish, we won't finish. When do you have the lunch usually? I don't want to interfere.
Are whenever okay? She is over.
Okay. I mean, okay. Shouldn't give me such a blank check, but okay. Okay, so the Mishnah here in the continuation tells us something very important. Misha Hoylo, I'm sorry. This is one of the cases of Bechor Lekohen Ve'eno Bechor Lenachla. So if you have a woman who gives birth, well, she's a Yisraelis, but she became pregnant when she was still a non-Jew. Now it's Horoso, you have a case of Horoso Shalo Bikdusha and Leidoso Bikdusha, which is something that certainly can happen. The Geirus takes place during the pregnancy. So we're being told that le'inyan b'chor, there is no b'chor l'nachala, right? But le'inyan pidgin aben, there is a chiyuv pidgin aben. So we want to discuss both of these issues. Let's start with the easier one, the smaller topic, the chiyuv pidgin aben. Okay, then we'll get back to the Rashi and Tosus and the question of why there is no nachala. Okay, so the chiyuv pidgin aben, on the surface, seems fine. You have a child that's born. All right, the tipa rishona was, the ibur was shalobik dusha, rasa shalobik dusha. What we're only being told in the Mishnah is that pidgin aben depends on leida, and that's fine. There's only one complication with all of this, but it's a significant complication. And that is based on the Gemara in Yevamos, daf ayin ches, rav. Gemara here has a very famous discussion. Ayin Chesam Aleph. Gemara quotes the Shita of Rav. So Rava said, at Nochris Muberesh in his Gaira, we have exactly this case, a Horasa Shalobik Dusha. B'na Ein Tzarech Tvila. The child doesn't need a Tvila. So that's a loaded statement. If the child had needed a tvila, you know, we'd really be surprised. After all, the child was born from a perfectly Jewish mother. If the child needed a tvila, it would be an indication that horasa shelo b'kedusha is a serious flaw. But we're being told that she doesn't need a tvila, so that's good. Except that the Gemara continues and says as follows: Amai ein tzarech tvila. So the question already is jarring, right? There's a havamina that you would need a tefillah. B'chitei m'mishum d'Rabbi Yitzchak, d'Rabbi Yitzchak d'var Torah ruba makpil alav chotzeitz, ruba sheinu makpil aveinu chotzeitz. So now we're really you know, on shaky ground. Sounds like the Gemara is saying the only reason that you don't need a tefillah is because you had a tefillah. Maybe the tefillah of the mother applies to the vlad. So the vlad is a ger, like the mother's a ger. The only thing is that there's no chatzitza, and therefore you get away with one tefillah. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Kahana lo shanu l'rubo, avukulo chotzeitz. That's a different story. So the Gemara answers, Shaini ubar dahainu revise. Okay, this is the Gemara's conclusion. That even though in the normal dinim of chatzitza, rov, kpeda, and those kind of things, there would be a chatzitza here, Shaini hacha, shaini ubar dahainu revise. Now the question is, what does the Gemara mean when it says that? So Rashi explains, v'lav chatzitza hi. Right? So that means that even the halacha, it sounds like Rav is saying that in principle, harasa shelo b'kedusha v'leidasa b'kedusha is a gerus for the child as well. The only thing is that l'maisa, you don't need a separate act of tevila. Is there any other way to read this Gemara? So there is another way to read the Gemara. That is, that's exactly what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara says, lab ein revise, but the Gemara isn't, it's not velo chatzitzahi. But the pshat is, since the child, well, let me take it a step back, and maybe even in the Havamina to explain it a little bit like this. It's more difficult according to the first line of the Gemara, but not yet impossible either. Maybe the Gemara is, at least according to the conclusion, maybe even the Havamina, saying that Horasa Shelo Bikdusha V'Leidasa Bikdusha is a Yisrael Gamor. What the Gemara means to tell us, means to be weighing, is as follows. How do we look at the Ubar B'nei Imo? And this is, of course, connected to a larger topic, whether Ubar Yerach Imo, Ubar Lav Yerach Imo, right, which applies to Behema as well, and to Adam, well, there could be Mechalik between them. And the question is as follows. To what extent do we view the child as being an integral part of the mother, or the mother is just hosting the, you know, the development of this already existing entity, the child, the ubar, but the ubar is already separate. And maybe what the Gemara is really trying to figure out is that question. What the Gemara is saying is, if the mother is considered a chatzitza, or if it's lab hainu revise, in other words, if the mother is just a pundak to, by the way, this Gemara is very important for surrogate mother discussions in Halakha. One of our most important Gemaras, as are some of the others, Zerah Mitzri and other things. These Gemaras, Ayin Ches and Tzadi Ches, Tzadi Zayin, Tzadi Ches, these are the Gemaras. It's hard to know whether they're being, you know, whether the applications to modern circumstances, and there are also different, obviously, medical cases to discuss. But these are the Gemaras that are quoted. So, but what I'm suggesting is there's another way to read the Gemara. The simple way to read the Gemara is the Gemara saying the child, because of Harasa Shalom B'Kedusha, needs a Geirus. But the child has a Geirus through the mother, and even though it doesn't seem so obvious because of the normal din of Chatzitza, that's what Hainu Rivise really means. Of course, the Chiddush then would be, well, but if the child is a Zachar, not just to the Keba, so why shouldn't it require Mila and Tvila? Right, so that's not so difficult to get out of. That's a question that people ask. That's not so difficult to get out of. You can get out of it in two ways. Number one, there's going to be a Mila. So they let the Mila of the Bris Mila double. What if you have a child that can't have a Bris Mila? Okay, there'd be those ways to test that. Or the point is that the even if, you know, Bishas, you know, Shehu Ubar, maybe there's only a Geirus Shel Tvila, not a Geirus Shel Milo Tvila. Right, it's only once the child is a born Zachar that the concept of Geirus extends to Mila and Tvila. As long as it's an Ubar B'meimo, so Tvila is the Geirus for an Ubar. Okay. So that would be the simple reading of the Gemara. What I'm suggesting is a different pshat, and that is as follows. What we're saying is, to what extent is the mother a host of this Ubar, which is already a separate entity, or kind of Ubar Yerachimo, the Vlad is... So the point is, if we look at the mother as a chatzitza, right? So then, basically what we're saying is that there are two entities here. That the ubar is separate. And if the ubar is separate, then the fact that the mother undergoes a gerus And the fact that it is born of a mother who is a Yisraelis at the time of the Leida may not be enough. After all, Harasa Shelo Bekdusha. And since Harasa Shelo Bekdusha, you need a Geirus. You need a Geirus. And if you need a Geirus, then you have the question of Chatzitza. Where's the Geirus? And when the Gemara answers, you know, Hainu Lav Uber Shiny, the Hainu Rivi Say, what the Gemara is really saying is, there is no chatzitza here, and for the same reason that there's no chatzitza, and there would be a tefillah if you needed one, that's even more so the reason why you don't need one. In other words, in the end of the day, the ubar isn't a separate entity growing, you know, in the rechem of the mother. The ubar is an integral part of the mother. So for the same reason that there wouldn't be a problem of chatzitza. Even if there had been a problem of chatzitza, there wouldn't be a problem because that's a Yisrael Gamor who doesn't need Geirus. It's Nolad Me'im Yisrael. I think that's the other way to read this Gemara. Now, depending on which way you read it, it's highly significant. Either it is or isn't highly significant for our mission. In other words, if you read my suggested reading, which is, and maybe even on the chatzitza part of the Gemara was wondering. They were using chatzitza as a way of gauging, you know, how ad kama yerach ima le'inyan davar zeh, and then, you know, im kvar, you need it, so then you have a chatzitza problem. No, maybe you need it, but there's no chatzitza problem, etc. But the maskana of Hainu Rivisei is, you have a vlad yisrael gamur, shenolad me'im gamur. End of story, there's no need for geirus. So then, to read our Mishnah, which is, what does our Mishnah say? Our Mishnah says that Horasa Shelo Bekdusha, V'leidasa Bekdusha, requires a pigeon of bed. No problem, because the child is a Yisrael Gamor L'chol Davar. However, if you read the Gemara the other way, the way Rashi seemed to read it, which is Hainu Revisei, means there's no Chatzitza. You need a Tvila, and you have a Tvila. So in some respect, what we're saying is that Harasa Shelo Bekdusha V'Leidasa Bekdusha is needs but has a Geirus. So then when you go back to our mission in Bechoros, you have a very important Chiddush here. Namely, our mission is telling us that a Ger Ubar, whatever you want to say, is Chai B'Pidgin Aben. Wow. Is that possible that a Ger needs a Pidgin Aben? Right? Now, again, to be perfectly accurate about it, maybe the answer should be, well, that's not so surprising. After all, here, the Geirus took place before the Zman Achiyuv. Because Peta Rechem, right? So it's Siyam in a Rechem, which is Mechai, that's the whole point. So even if, again, it'd be one of those good trivia questions, you know. How can you have, chiyuv pidgin aben l'chol davar in every way, but it's an ager? You know, the answer is because leidaso is koveya. This leida is koveya, not horaso. Again, just like the Gemara said, that even if you have a Yisrael who marries a Levia, that the child doesn't need a pidgin aben because being a bas levi, le'inyan petarechem is koveya. So petarechem is the moment, petarechem is koveya. The horaso Shel Yisrael, the father being Yisrael, is not so relevant. So too, the father being a guy, even though that requires Geirus, but Linyan Pidgin Aben, it's still, the Geirus is complete before the Zman Chiyuv Petarech. But that itself is not so clear, as we were discussing last time. Is there any notion of Chiyuv Petarechem B'meimo? Berechem, in other words. In fact, Daniel was mentioning to me after Shiddim about the discussion that the Rosh and the other Rishonim have about saying Asher Kidash Yedid, Mi Beten. I mentioned last time, maybe we'll still have a chance to speak about it very quickly next time, that maybe the definition of Leida is different than Bechor L'Nachla and Bechor L'Pidgin Aben, because in one case, even I was trying to show the irony that on the one hand, it's Rachis Ono and the Zera is important. On the other hand, the Leida is important for Nachla. But in Pidgin Aben, you might say that being an Ubar B'Me'imo is what's important. Certainly that's true in Behema, right? Kadosh Shaumi Rechem Mitzvah Lagdisha. My point is, when you have this child, this Ubar B'Me'imo, Does the geiros, and we're asking the question, if there is a geiros, does the geiros affect the pidgin aben aspect of it? It may very well be linked to this question, whether or not b'me'imo, there's any notion of pidgin aben. Right, something to consider. But if the answer is no, okay, so then we could explain, yeah, this is interesting and fascinating even, namely that you'd have a pidgin aben for a geir. But we can live with it. After all, it's a pidgin aben where the geirus was prior to the mechayev of pidgin aben, namely the leida. Not so terrible to live with. But the truth is that we have this phenomenon in another context, possibly, according to some Rishonim. Yeah.
Is it also a big assumption to say that the child in the rechem has a shame ger or shame Yisrael or any type of shame before being born?
Well, I mean, that is, if you interpret Rava, you know, like Rashi is interpreting, which many people interpret, then we are saying that.
Right. So,
And this is all within that mahalach. I think so. I think it that could be a point. Again, Linyan Nachla, it might be, as we'll see, but that could be for other reasons. That could be reasons of, Yesh Av L'Mitzri, or Geshen Izgayer. That's the other half of the importance of the Mishnah, so we'll get back to that. But, but if you explain Lav Hayinu Rav Yisei and the Havamina here, that it really is a Geirus, then you've got to say that. Okay, so this is one point. I say we can live with this, although it's a Chiddush. Question is whether we can live with it in its second manifestation. What is its second manifestation? Well, the Gemara here on Mem Zion of an Aleph also tells us, the Gemara that I've been alluding to, that if you have a Bas Leviya, there'll be a Ptur Pidgin Aben. So the Gemara says, and who is the father of this child? Right, so the Gemara is two days. Right? Leviya sheyolda b'na pater b'heslaim. Amar Avada Barab. So the Gemara says, Diaber mima. Hilem b'diaber mikoin amilevi ma'iri leviya fili yisraelis namen. Okay. If the father's a kohen or a levi, then you don't need the mother to be a levi. Ela diaver mi yisra. The father is a yisra. So the Gemara says, then it's l'mishpachal sam b'esav osam ksiv. Namely, even regarding this day in the Gemara, even regarding Pidgin Aben, the din of mishpacha is determined by the father. So the Gemara says, "Omer Papa di Aber me oved kochavim." The father is a non-Jew. Okay, so it's basically Akum, right? Goy Shabal Bas Yisrael, right? In this case, Leviya. V'lo teimal even the mandamer in mezam in the sablad alafil mandamer mezam in the sablad Levi pasul mikru. Then the Gemara has a second day where the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Reid Rav Yosef, Mishmeir Rav Lom Deva BiYisrael, V'Shani Hasan Damar Kra Petarechem BePetarechem Tala Rachman." And that's what I mentioned before. That's what's so interesting. It's a Chiyuv Av, but it might be defined by the mother even in ways that are rule breaking. And we'll get back to the significance of it. Okay, but basically, for our purposes of the moment, the Gemara has now told us that not only is there Chiyuv Pidgin Aben for harasa shalom b'kedusha v'leidasa b'kedusha, which according to one reading of Rava means for a ger, but as we just explained, at least the gerus is finished before the chiyuv pidgin aben, according to one perspective. We have another case now. You have goy sheba bas Yisrael. What is the vlad? A Yisrael. Does that vlad need gerus? Or is the Yisrael gamur? So we normally think it's Yisrael Gamor, but there are some very prominent Rishonim in a few places that say that there's a requirement of Geirus. The Rashi says this in Kiddushin, in Perakas Yochsin, and the Bali Tosas say it there as well, and they say it once in Yuvamos. The Poskim all speak about this a lot. I mean, it's a huge nafkamina. Unfortunately, Bizmanenu, it's an even bigger issue, right? You have a non-Jewish father. Do you need a kind of Geirus or not? So Rashi and Tosas in different places seem to say that there's a requirement of Geirus. The Gra actually dismisses the Rashi and Tosas based on the Sugin Bechoros. So I said these are important Gemaras. He says, we see from our Gemara that there's a Chi of Pidgin Aben. Our Gemara says that Yisrael, the Yisraelis, Sheneveles Migoy, would be, if it's a Yisrael, if she's a Yisraelis, the only reason that she's Petura is that there's a Petura is because she's a Leviya, right? But if she had been a Yisraelis, then there would certainly be a Chiyuv Pidgin Aben. Moreover, what does the Gemara say? That even though that there is a p'tur in this case, the p'tur is not based on the fact that the father, that the child needs gerus, but it's based on the fact that the mother is a Leviya. And the Gemara characterizes this child as a Levi, what do they call it? A Levi apostle, right?
Only in the second.
Sorry?
In the first you say he's a regular Levi.
What do you mean the first? So the child of the Goy and the... Yeah, okay. We're ready. Right. I mean, it depends according to the Zan. Right. I mean, either way, it's a Levi. That's my point. Right. Even according to the Mandomar, Mizam and Asablad, Levi Pasul Mikri. According to the other man, so Levi Kasher Mikri. Fine. Even worse. So basically, the Gra points to these Gemaras and says, you see from here, right, from the fact that there is a Chi of Pidgin, implicitly a Chi of Pidgin Ben in Yisraelis, Shinevelis Migai, and that there's the status of Levi, Liftor Mipidgin Aben, whether Levi Pasul or Levi Kasher, in the same exact circumstances in Akum Sheba al Levia, you see from here that there's obviously no requirement of Gerus. Because had there been a requirement. Now here, we can't even say, oh, wow, that's an interesting trivia point, or that's fascinating, but it's not the end of the world, because here, the chiyuv, or the gerus, would take, if there is a requirement of a gerus, would take place after the leida. So how could it be that there's a chiyuv, the child is born, and there's a chiyuv gerus, and yet there's a chiyuv pidgin aben? Right? Or that we call the child is Levi, Levi Jr., young Levi. Another child has been born to the Levi clan. But he needs gerus. A Levi who needs gerus. How could that be? So that's what a lot of the poskim in Shulchan Aruch and Ibn Ezer, that's why they reject this view of Rashi and Tosas that there's a requirement of gerus. Okay. But what are Rashi and Tosas going to do? They also know the Gemara in Bechoros. So what do we do? What do we say about this? Moreover, another question, just very quickly. Third question. Getting back to Haraso, Shalom, Bikdusha, Veledasa, Bikdusha. What about twins? Yeah, sorry.
On the last point, even this somewhat unorthodox, because we normally talk about Petr Ref on this, is Shas, the colors of the Theo.
Right.
But it could be, let's just explore the possibility that that's prerequisite, Petr Ref, but perhaps there's room to say that the colors of the Theo only occurs at 30 days, in which case, according to Rashi and Tosfos, also here, the Gerus could come before the Chalos of Ophiyah.
Right, I was thinking about that as well. I think it's an interesting point. I said that's one of the issues that we're going to pursue, whether Shloshim Yom is just a din in Nefel, or the real Chiyuv is only Shloshim Yom, and anything that you do, if you say B'no Padu in advance, it's just because it's kind of L'inyan, you know, La'achar Zman. You know, you jump the gun, but it didn't really, it's like a delayed pigeon. I think that's something to pursue. The only problem with it is, and what happened? Is it really true? I mean, it doesn't say in any Gemara anywhere that there'll be no chiyuv pidgin aben after shloshim yom if you didn't yet do the gerus. Right? I mean, it would help. I agree. If you did the gerus within the shloshim yom, so that would be the equivalent of harasa shelo b'kedusha v'leidasa b'kedusha. And if you didn't, so then we would say that there's no chiyuv pidgin aben once his manachiyuv comes. Or would you say that, well, as long as it's a goy, there's no chiyuv pidgin aben? Maybe you won't even go a step further with what you're saying. And then you don't even need the shloshim yom. Say the chiyuv pidgin aben only begins once the child is a Jew. But even then, so then why is that different than a regular gershon is geyer? Certainly a regular gershon is geyer, you're not going to say. You're not going to say that.
Because the mother
is
a pater
and
a Jew.
Yeah, the mother is a Jew in this case. Right. So it could just be potentially, right. It's a potential
theory. So maybe that's one approach. So one approach would be correct. I think you'd have to say something like that. A regular Gershon is Gaia, there's no pater rechem Mishrael. On the contrary, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, right, Rabbi Yossi Aglili says that even a Gershon is Gaia can have a pater rechem because it's pater rechem Mishrael. So you really see the Mechayiv as pater rechem Mishrael. You don't have to hold like Rabbi Yossi Aglili in order to hold that way. Rabbi Yossi Aglili is in the extreme. Even though the mother had a child as a non-Jew, her first child as a Jew is Petarecha Mi Yisrael. Wow. Okay. Okay, but Midr Rabbi Yosef Glili, we see either something about Gershes Gar Katan Shenola Dami, even physically, which I hope we'll get back to soon. We'll definitely get back to it, whether you know today or when we finish up on Tuesday. But you also may be seeing something about the Salach of the Mechayev of Petarechem. All right, just to sum up what we've been saying, which I think these are good suggestions, that one approach would be to say that basically the Mechayev is Petarechem mi Israel, but the Chiyuv only begins once it's Kedushas Israel. And that takes place whenever the Geirus takes place. Then we don't need the Shloshim Yom even. Again, it's a chiddush because it doesn't seem that way from the Gemara. I mean, it's still missing in the Gemara. The simple reading of the Gemara is that there's a chiyuv pidyon haben immediately when the child is born, not after 30 days, not after the geirus. Again, you might say, well, the Gemara doesn't have to spell that out. It's obvious if it is a requirement of geirus and the child is a non-Jew in some respect. So obviously, the only chiddush is that petarechem mi Yisrael works at all. Okay, so this is one thing to look at.
It's only also to be machalik between different kinds of geirus. In other words, the geirus that we're dealing with here, could be like a tikkun ba'alma, it's involved in a different form.
Yeah, so that's what we're trying to get to. That's what I'm getting to.
What do you mean? The father was a goy.
Yeah.
The mother was a Jewish girl.
Right.
So he needs the geirus?
So that's what I'm saying. Rashi and Tosas say in a few places that there's also a geirus. I'll explain what I mean by it in a few minutes. Well, what you're saying is correct.
According to the mother, goes,
So what does it mean?
So what is the 30 days actually between the right away or have to wait 30 days? What is the 30 days period?
No, 30 day period is a period for pidyon haben. Let me go back for a second. So we have this is the problem. If Rashi and Tosas say in Kiddushin,
yes,
and Tosas also in Yevamos, that you need some sort of a geirus. That's a problem in its own right. Even though the mother was Jewish, if the father's a non-Jew, you need also an additional geirus.
Yes.
So what we're trying to explain is, if you need additional geirus, how can it, but the Gemara here seems to say there's a chiyuv pidyon haben. So he was suggesting originally that maybe when the child is born, there's an obligation to do geirus, but the pidyon haben doesn't begin until 30 days. So if the geirus is done before the 30 days, then it won't be a problem. That was
his.
Yeah. The problem we raised with that is, and if it's not done within the 30 days?
You don't need the 30 days.
What do you mean you don't need? Well, you need 30 days for
if
a pidyon haben.
You make the pidyon haben right away.
So that's a question, whether you can make a pidyon haben before 30 days. Normally you wait, we wait 30 days.
30 days, yeah.
Yeah, because the child should not be a nefel. You should make sure that the child is is strong enough to...
So there's a difference between... Whether he needs to wait 30 days or you don't have to.
But that if you did a pidyon haben earlier, what would be the halacha? That we'll discuss next time on Tuesday.
Even so, before the geirus.
So we're trying to figure out whether or not, how could you have a pidyon haben without geirus? But you're absolutely right. The real, well, let me just add one other point first, and then just to build up the issue. I mean, there are chronic questions.
Why don't you need the geirus to begin with the mother
of a Jew? So we'll explain in a second. Just be, if you're patient for 1 minute, then we'll get to it. But that's exactly what we're trying. If you do, what's going on here? You're saying, in general, what's going on? We know that we go by the mother, and the mother's a Jew. Then you shouldn't need a geirus. Clearly, you don't need a geirus for everything. Clearly, the child is also Jewish.
Yeah.
The question is, what is the geirus at? Because that's a Mishnah in Kiddushin. You can't deny that either. That when it comes to mishpacha, when it comes to yichus, whose family, whose shever are you in? Are you a kohen? Are you a Levi Yisrael? That goes by the father. Right, but when it comes to Kedushas Yisrael, that goes by the mother. We know that that's true. So what's going on here? That's your question. We'll get to it in a second. Yeah, exactly. That's based on the Mishnah's understanding in Kedushin that we go by the mother. So what does it mean? Yeah, right. Unless you don't have a father. No, no. If you don't have a father, let's say you have a non-Jew. Right.
So
the child is a Levi.
The
there's no Kohen, as we'll discuss, but there is a Levi.
There's no Levi. No
there is Levi.
There is.
If the mother's a Leviah, that's what the Gemara says.
There.
That's what we're going to try to explain it, but that's what the Gemara says. That's one of the complicated things that we're trying to explain. Okay. Let me mention one other issue first, because it's an interesting question. According to the view that Horoso Shalo Bikdusha, Vileidoso Bikdusha requires a Geirus. Right, but you have a geirus because when the mother is toveles, haino revise, it's no problem. So what do you do? This is a commonly asked question. What do you do with the Gemaras that seem to say they have twins? Right, You have horasa shelo b'kedusha, right? V'leidasa b'kedusha. The mother is pregnant with twins. It's not such a far-off case. And the gerus takes place after she's pregnant, before she gives birth. So the Gemara's in Yavama, the Mishnah's in the Gemara's in Yavama, seem to say that when it comes to Yibum and Chalitza, the brother, the Teomim, the twins, are not related. Right? That's the Sugyad of Tzarichas, Tzarich Zayin Beis, Tzarichas Amin Allah. The children are not related because Yibum and Chalitza depends on the father. They have to be brothers from the father. And the father was, you know, that's part of our problem too. Zera Av Mitzri, Afkarei Rachman, or whatever it is, Eina Av L'Mitzri, you know, Ein Lochayis, whatever the proper terminology is, we'll get to that. The father doesn't have the Yichus, and therefore the twins, they're twins, right? They can be identical twins, you know, even Tipa Achas, you know, last week's, in Tuesday's discussion sense, they could be identical, you know, you can't tell them apart. They're not brothers from the father, Al Pidin, because Harasam Shalom B'Kedusha. However, when it comes to the Isur of Eishes Ach, right, that depends on also brothers of the mother. So that, we seem to say, Min HaTorah, that there is such an Isur. But, if we take the view that a Vlad B'mei Imo, Harasa Shalom B'Kedusha, V'Leidasa B'Kedusha, requires Geirus, but has Geirus, requires but has Geirus, so then we have a problem. Why not say, let's say you have twins and they were Mizgayer. They're twins from the mother and, you know, again, identical twins. And they both convert after being born, I'm talking about. So what's halacha? Gershon is Gayer, Kakatan, Shinola, Dami. They're not related in any way, not Mitzad Av and not Mitzad Aim. But if you interpret Rava to be saying that you need but have a Geirus, so what's going on? If you really need and have a Geirus, so then it's Gershon is Gayer, Kakatan, Shinola, Dami. They shouldn't be related on the mother's side either. That's a problem. Now, I think one could suggest an answer. And that is that I think one could suggest actually two answers. One is to see the Ta'omim B'mei Imon before they're born as one. I have three answers. I think that's one possibility. The second possibility, I think, is more fruitful. Excuse the pun. is to say the following. In general, and this relates to a topic, the bigger topic that we have to discuss, when we say Gershon is Gayer Kakatan Shenola Dami, and therefore when a Ger is Nizgayer, he cuts off his previous family. We're going to discuss the scope of that halacha. It just means per se that a Ger can never be related to his previous family, or the problem is in the transition itself. Problem is, it's Luya Tsuyar. I'll give you a very simple example. This is a question that all the Achronim ask as well. I'm not aware that any Rishonim asked it. Matan Torah was considered to be a Geirus. Right? Not only that, the procedure for Geirus is patterned after Matan Torah. Right? Mila, Tvila, Hartzaz, Damim, patterned after Har Sinai. So, Shuvu Lachem, La Aleichem. Question is, how come after Matan Torah, the previous relationship, family relationships, continued? Shouldn't you say Gershon is Gayer, Kakatan, Shinola, Dami? This is a very popular question in the Achron. If it really was a Geirus, then whoever I was married to before, I'm not married to anymore, you know, and I can marry my sister and my daughter. I mean, one can't, obviously, but I mean, in theory, if it was Gershon is Gayer, Kakatan, Shinola, Dami, everybody's a new identity. No one was related to who they were related to previously. So we know that's wrong. The question is, why is it wrong? Okay, so the Achronim asked this question. They give all sorts of answers. It was, Kafal Amar Kigi. It was a different kind of Geirus. It was... I always thought the following. I haven't seen it, but maybe somebody says it. I hope somebody says it. I'm convinced it's true. I think you could say it in one way and then in a more moderate way. Basically, lu yitzuyar, that you could cross the Rubicon together, you know, holding hands, as it were, you wouldn't say gershin is garak katan shenol adami. Problem is that every gerus is an individual gerus. Right? Every process of gerus relates to an individual as an individual, distinctly. I'm not saying, like, you know, they did it in one bezin at the same time. But still, it's gerus of A and gerus of B and gerus of C and gerus of D. Lu yitzuyar, you could have one integrated maisa gerus, which included more than one person, like the family plan of gerus. So then maybe you wouldn't say Gershon is Gairik. It's not that per se I have nothing to do with who I was before. I have nothing to do with who I was before, not because of the result of the chalos of Gairus, but because of the Maisa Gairus. In other words, every Maisa Gairus, you know, breaks my connection with the past. But if somebody could, let's say, holding hands or you know, linking arms, whatever it is, you know, if we could do the family plan of Gairus, if we could cross over from Gius to Kedushas Yisrael, together,
family pews.
What? Family pews. Then maybe you wouldn't say Gershon is Garka Katan Shinola Dami. I'm overlapping the other topic now because I think they are overlapping topics. So if I think that's the answer. I think the answer to the Klal Yisrael answer is as follows. Number one, it was a different kind of Gerus, but not for the reasons that other Achronim give. Bal Korchach, Baratzon, Kodematan Torah, there are Makabel, those kind of. No. Number one, it was a Gerus Betzibor. It was the only Gerus Betzibor in the history of mankind. Right? So by definition, it wasn't a Gerus of individuals, it was a Gerus of Klal Yisrael. But even if it was the Gerus of, that's the more moderate way. The more extreme way, I guess, is to say, but I don't think it's so bad, is to say, even if individuals were misgayer, but either way, they were misgayer in a way that was mitzuref to all of them at the same time. And so they were locking arms as they did it. Even if it wasn't the Gerus Shel Atzibor, but it was a Gerus Shel Kol Echad V'Echad, but the mechanism was one in which there was Tziruv Gamor, right? The same Tvila, the same Hartzah, it was a mitzaref, is what I'm saying. Now, the echo of that, I think this could be said, is Ta'omim. Horasam shelo biktusha leidasam biktusha. Even if I say, listen, they're differentiated. Again, if it's, you know, tipa achas, I think you could say the first thing that I said. That is, until the leida takes place, we look at this as one gerus. But even if not, there's Bob and Bill, you know, the identical twins or the non-identical twins, and they're b'nei iman. Okay, but the fact is that the gerus agav iman, harasa shelo bikdusha leidasa bikdusha, at minimum is a mitzaref. So that you don't say gershon is gair kakatan shenol. In Achanami they're both gerim, but these are the only case of gerim after Klal Yisrael did it, and maybe it's different. Maybe Klal Yisrael was a din in tzibor. This is not a din in tzibor, but it's one single act of even if it's two gerim, it's one gerus. They really were, you know, locking arms. And therefore the Ta'omim are considered Mishpachas Ha'em, even though they're not considered Mishpachas Av. That's my suggestion. Okay. Having said that, let's go back.
You're talking about
Klal Yisrael, yeah. But not in the twins' cases, even after Matan Torah.
Huh?
I'm talking about two different cases. Klal Yisrael before and after Matan Torah.
Before Matan Torah.
When they transitioned, when they changed from before Matan Torah. Matan Torah was a Gerus,
yes.
And at Har Sinai.
Matan Torah, yeah. I mean, before it was Shira Mitzvahs in Mayanaya.
Yeah. And maybe so a little more. That's also some of the answers. What?
In the Shira Mitzvahs in Mayanaya, this law didn't apply.
They did, but now it's now they have Taryag in addition. So the change from the Zion to the Taryag is Matan Torah. Right. Okay. Now, and Ta'omim is the other case. Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to get to that in a second. That's what the Rav suggested also. I'll get to that in just a second. Yeah. Oh, So the point is, if you say these things, then the ta'omim case is fine. That doesn't help you for the other case. I mean, it doesn't help you for... that's what I just said about the ta'omim. It doesn't help you for... it doesn't help you for Rashi.
If you suggest that the Am Yisrael takes place... Am and Mishpacha goes after the fathers, therefore that takes place at the
Harasa.
Right. And that Kedushas Yisrael takes place, which we see sort of by the Pidyon, that if the Petarachim is that which causes Kedusha, then you could say that the Leda causes the Kedushas Yisrael. So therefore the conversion is only Mitzad Mishpacha, but Kedusha takes place at the Leda.
I mean what you were suggesting a second ago. Yeah, I know, I'm not to that, I'm just going to get to that in a second. I meant what I said about Ta'omin doesn't help you for Yisrael. Now, this idea that there's a conversion together, what I'm saying is if you hold that Rava believes that there's that basically there's Geirus, I said we have two problems. Number one is our mission of Bechoros of a pigeon event. The other is, why is it that Mishpacha, that Achim and Aim are Asur Be'eshes Ach Min HaTorah? So the answer of Eshes Ach Min HaTorah, I think I've been able to suggest, the Ta'omim case. But that doesn't help you for the Harasa Shalom Kedusha or the Yisrael Habal Bas Yisrael or Bas Leviyah. So that will get to just a bit.
Did Ruth now, Ma'avi ever went through Gail?
Did who?
Ruth Ma'avi.
Yeah, sure.
That's...
No
place to tell this.
It doesn't say it explicitly. But she is considered one of the Amechami V'Yalakai Echalakai, which is her statement, is viewed actually as a paradigm. It doesn't say it explicitly.
Yeah.
But we... You know, for her to be able to marry in Klal Yisrael and to be the mother of Jews, she had to have a Geirus. The only question is, whether the Geirus take place, what about, Orpah and her beforehand? I mean, that's a big machlokas in the reading of those psukim. Yeah.
What about the crucifixion?
Oh, I'll get to that in a second as well. That's going to be related to this point as well. Okay. Yeah. So basically what I'd like to say is as follows. I think there are two basic approaches. Two or three points. Number one, getting back to the point that you made before and that others have made as well. There's no denying that that a child who's born to a Jewish mother has some Kedushas Yisrael. That we know from the reading of the Psukim, based on the Mishnah and the Gemara and the Kedushin and the Yevamos, that the Kedushas Yisrael, the blood, goes by the mother. So what do we mean when Rashi and Tosa said that there's a requirement of Geirus? Very strange. By the same token, what do we mean? You see, it's not just Rashi and Tosas' invention, obviously. Hey, they interpret this based on their understanding of the Gemara, but even based on Rava with Harasa Shalom B'Kedusha V'Lei Dasa B'Kedusha. Because again, the child is born of a Jewish mother, why would there, if you don't interpret Rabbi say the way I suggested, but the other way, so it sounds like there is a Geirus, there happens to be one, but, you know, and I say it's not as bad because it's Koda Maleda, but still, what's going on there? So the answer could be as follows.
Do you
think
that Rashi and Tosas may be responding to the historical situation of rapes that occurred during the Crusades?
They say what they say in the context of the parish and the Gemara. I mean, maybe heightened sensitivity to that. Maybe, but I think either way, there's no way that Rashi and Tosas believe that there's no Kedushas Yisrael. What they say is that there's a requirement of Geirus in addition. So what they mean by that is as follows. There are some Akronim who explain.
What I meant was that obviously they're, according to the word, they're Jews.
Right.
But the reaction of people toward these children.
You mean that they should require something in addition.
To require something.
Right, but I'm saying you have to, either way, it has to figure into, again, maybe as I say, their sensitivity to it may have been heightened by that, but you still have to explain it legally. So there are some who explain that the Geirus of Rashi and Tosas, and by extension, one could say the same thing by Rava's Geirus, is basically even Achronim use the expression, it's like Tvilas Kalim Tvila. Meaning, when you're Ba, Mi Kedusha Kala, Le Kedusha Chamura, right, you have to have a Tvila. You have to do it as a partial act of Geirus. Meaning, not for Hechsher or Kedushas Yisrael, not Shal Yachid, not Shal Tzibur, not for anything. But simply, that's what happens if you have kalim and you don't tovel them in the mikvah. There's no machalos asuros; you're allowed to use them. It's a kiyum; it's an additional chiyuv to recognize the transition right, to full Kedushas Yisrael. So the point is this: somebody who has Horasa Shelo B'Kedusha, or the father is a non-Jew. So what we're saying is, it doesn't affect basic Kedushas Yisrael, right? There's no Macholos Asuros equivalent, but Afa Bichain, there's some aspect of his life which is Ba Mikdusha Kala. And that should be recognized that, you know, his the fact that he has Kedushas Yisrael in this case needs to be recognized by the Leda, since the Leda kind of changes that. So you recognize that by an act of tefillah, by an act of games. That's one perspective. According to that perspective, if you have a zachar, maybe tefillah would still be enough. Right? It sounds like you need a gerus. It would be interesting, to find out if anybody ever said that tefillah would be enough for such a thing, that you wouldn't need a milah l'shem gerus. Okay. That's one perspective. The other possibility is as follows. The Rav used to explain this a lot. Somebody, you mentioned kuti, right? And you mentioned the difference between kedushas haprat and kedushas haklal, is what we were saying, right? Klal Yisrael versus individual kedusha. So this is a distinction that we find in the Achronim as well. The Rav liked this as well. The Rav said this in the following context. There's also, I'm not going to go into details. If you look at the Surabiya, the Rambam's view on Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos is very complicated. There are places where he seems to say that without Kabbalah's, Ol Mitzvos, nonetheless, you can have Kedushas Yisrael. And other places he seems to say that it's Ma'akev. And it's very difficult to understand what's going on there. The Rav has always assumed as a Davar Pashut that Kabbalah's Ol Mitzvos is Ma'akev. He understood this in a definitional way. He said, well, what does it mean to be a member of Klal Yisrael if it doesn't mean accepting upon yourself Kabbalah's Ol Mitzvos? It's not a protocol. It's not a technical requirement. That is the definition. I remember when he said it. He said it very strongly. It's absurd to think of Geirus without Kabbalah Sol Mitzvot. What does it mean? It's simply anti-definitional. But the question is, if there wasn't Kabbalah Sol Mitzvot as a part of it, let's say there was Kabbalah Sol Mitzvot, but there was no technical Kabbalah Sol Mitzvot as part of the process, because he didn't officially ask him an answer. But his intention in Geirus was Kabbalah Sol Mitzvot. Now, that's separate from the question of what Kabbalah Sol Mitzvot means, like how much knowledge you have to have. It can be very general. Those are the big issues of then and of today. Not going to go into that. But let's say you didn't do the Hodas Mitzvot as a protocol. So the Rav thought that the Kedushas Yisrael you have, but there's a Chiyuv Geirus still Le'inyan to marry Abbas Yisrael. And he found that this is the pshat also in the Rif. The Rif says in Yevamos, seems to say that
you're
if you're
talking about a zuchah now.
What?
A boy, you're talking about a boy now.
A boy or a girl. Girl marrying a boy marrying a girl. Let's assume a boy, but to marry into Klal Yisrael, yeah. In other words, that there shouldn't be a problem of marriage.
Can you make Kabbalah mitzvahs from Rambam? Oh, you mean say that I accept the...
In most cases, we are very makbid in Geirus that there should be Kabbalah mitzvahs. But the Rambam talks about, Shimshon and all the cases in Tanakh where it seems that, there wasn't really Kabbalah mitzvah. What was going on there? Was there Geirus or not? That's what he talks about in Isur Abiyah. So what we're saying is, with Rambam was suggesting this idea, or for example, the Rif, I'll give you the Rif. The Rif says, what if there's a Geirus without a Bezdin? But there was a Geirus. A Tzvila Shalom B'fnei Bezdin. So the Rif also has this funny kind of idea that, that the Geirus is not completely Chal. But it isn't also not Chal. The truth is, a Meshumad. I don't hear the Rav say this, although he may have agreed to it, but Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, I once heard make the suggestion, and that is that that that's a pshat in the Rashbat. The Rashbat says, the Tashbait says a tshuva, which he says that if you have a Meshumad, so the Gaonim already said that a Meshumad requires Tevila. So, but the Tashbait said more than that. He said a Meshumad is included in the Isra of Los Ischatinba. Wow. Schatenbaum is Jews and non-Jews. So Meshumad, we say, Al Bishachata, Yisrael. So how could it be that he would violate Los Ischatim? But in a way, a Meshumad is the equivalent of these mixas gerus of Yisrael. According to Rashi and Tosas, ger shabal bas Yisrael, he's a Jew, he's chai b'mitzvos, he has kedushas Yisrael, but for marriage he needs that extra matir of gerus. A meshumad loses that and needs that matir again when he re-enters through his tefillah. Otherwise, he violates los eschate. That's a big chiddush. Kuti, you mentioned kuti and givonim. Kutim and givonim. So there's a huge debate about the status of kutim and givonim. Right? Kutim, geri emes, geri arayos, were they sincere? This whole group when they converted. And the givonim, in the time of Yoshua, the same story, right? They tricked Yoshua so they wouldn't be wiped out. And they did this gerus. Was it an authentic gerus or not? So the Arishonim, the Raivid and Yavamos and Meiri and in the beginning of the third parak of Ksuvis, Rital Ghazi actually has a whole discussion of it here too. The Arishonim will say that Kutim and Givonim are Yisraelim, but they can't marry into Klal Yisrael without another gerus. So that's how the Rav explained Rashi and Tosas as well. Namely, the Gra's question, but the Ar Sugya says Pidgin Aben. And Ar Sugya says that the child is a Levi. So how can it be that you require a Geirus? The answer is the Geirus that you require. This would work also according to the other view that compares it to like Tvilas Caleb. Or what we're saying here is it's a matir for Ishus. But that doesn't mean there isn't a Pidgin Aben or that he's not a Levi. He's a Levi, like we said before. He's a Levi, he's a Ischaib a Pidgin Aben. Now one could take it a step further and say what you said, and this is what Ravan Salvechik is to say, and that is that it isn't just a matir for Ishus, but that Ishus reflects a dimension of Kedushas Yisrael itself. Now, there are two aspects of Kedushas Yisrael. There's Kedushas Yisrael of the Yachid, and there's Kedushas Yisrael being part of the Tzibur. You mentioned Rus a second ago, right? Amei chami elakoy echalakoy. I mean, there really are two aspects in general to being a Jew, and just, it was articulated by Rus, Amech Ami Elokayach Elokai. There's, you could call it the theological component and the national component, right? And in a sense, these are two aspects of Kedushas Yisrael generally. The Kedusha of the individual is being Nichnas Tachas Kanfei Ashchina, and being part of Klal Yisrael and its destiny. A Porush Min HaTzibur is the equivalent of an Apikoros, because Amech Ami is sometimes the equivalent of Elokayich Elokai. And a person who denies Elokayich Elokai, he can't be a full, a proper Amech Ami person either. Obviously, the uniqueness of Kedushas Yisrael is the fact that there is significant interplay between these two components. But having said that, is it ever possible to say Yisrael Av B'Shachata Yisrael Hu? As an individual, but on some level, he, has slapped Klal Yisrael in the face by his behavior, and he's lost an aspect, a dimension of Kedushas Am Yisrael. That Kedushas Am Yisrael is what's necessary for marrying in. In which case, it raises an interesting question, which I think is what you were saying before also, about, now, if it isn't just a matir in the Ishus, letting person loosen Klal Yisrael that way, but it really is an aspect of Kedushas Ha'am as opposed to Kedushas Ha'prat. So then, which mitzvos depend on Kedushas Ha'am and which depend on Kedushas Ha'prat? For example, Pidgin Aben. So Pidgin Aben is an individual mitzvah, apparently. Not so obvious, because in a way, Pidgin Aben is, harkens back to the transfer of, of the Levim and the Kohanim, from the Bechor. So you could say, well, but it's still a chiyuv for each individual bechor, but it is something that also affects the segments of Klal Yisrael.
The transfer itself might be an individual transfer.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Right. So I don't think it's a problem. I'm just saying it's interesting in light of this. This would be something to look at. But once we say that, so then we could say that is the pshat also in Rava. Even if Rava really holds that there's a requirement of a tefillah, and maybe that's why even for a Zachar, tefillah is enough, in addition to what we said before. This tevila is a din in the added dimension, either of tevilas kalim type thing or kedushas Yisrael. The only interesting thing is now in looking at Rashi and Tosas in light of the reading of Rava, So it's interesting to just to point out that, you know, one could have been mechalik in either direction. Obviously, the Rishonim will disagree with Rashi and Tosfos are mechalik in one direction. In other words, the point is when you have when you have horoso shalom b'kedusha, right? Even though you're born of a Jewish mother, but when you the horoso was shalom b'kedusha not only because of the father, but the mother was also, shalom b'kedusha b'shas horoso. Is that better or worse or equivalent to goy shaba bas Yisrael, where the mother was always b'kedusha Yisrael? On the other hand, in that case, is also ma'isa avera. Right, goy b'giyusa, there was no ma'isa avera, right? Just so you have no ma'isa avera, you just don't have kedusha b'shas hora, and b'shas leida you have kedusha Yisrael gemura. Here you have to overcome the fact, the dissonance to begin with, the ma'isa avera and the dissonance. No dissonance in goy b'gaya, b'shas hora.
It means that there's no condition and no chuppah condition.
Say that again.
In terms, there was no chuppah condition, but a goy married
another. Right, there's no chuppah condition. We don't recognize.
There's no condition, even so the mother was Jewish.
Well, the child is. So what we're saying is that the child is a Jew.
Yes, but
For sure, and according to some Rishonim, there's not any requirement of tvila or geirus at all, and that's that I think is the majority view. And even according to those who say that there is a kind of a geirus, what we're saying is either it is a, simply a chiyuv, based on, mikdusha kala l'kdusha chamura, or it's a matir nishus.
But the chuppah condition, the geirus has something to do with the chuppah condition.
Not really. I mean, the lack of chuppah condition. I mean, the fact that there was no kedushin. Yeah, but it wouldn't apply. But it wouldn't apply to a Yisrael who was involved with another Yisrael without chuppah of a kedushin. So it has to be the fact that there's no tfisas kedushin, the fact that even potentially they couldn't get married. Now, if somebody, has a child out of wedlock.
What is the geiris, a supplement, in order to bring him into Klal Yisrael? Right. That he should be able to marry a bas or
right.
So what does the geiris do? The mother was Jewish.
Right. What it does is... Right.
So is it because the geiris takes place because there was no chuppah kedushin?
No, it has nothing to do with lack of chuppah
kedushin. So why is it the geiris?
Because the father is a goy.
But it's not God's going to be father.
So what we're saying is that according to some people, marrying in another Jew also depends on the father. But being chayav the mitzvos doesn't. In other words, we're saying different things, different halachas. That's the idea. Yeah. This is what you meant by kedushin Yisrael. Okay.
Father is
Mishpacha
and mother is
Kedusha. Yeah, well, that gets us to our next point. We'll get to that in just a second. Yeah.
Isn't this by
in general. Yeah, but not usually. But it's usually, it does add Kedusha. I mean, that's a question. But, not necessarily Kedusha Yisrael as opposed to, a state of non-Yisrael. It, within Kedusha Yisrael, within being a Yisrael, Gamor, so there is, Mila adds an element of Kedusha, in addition to being a Chiyuv, Mila. There's some evidence of that anyway. And the fact is that in Korban Pesach, we see that in a way.
And not necessarily related to here.
Right. But although it's interesting to note that, again, the parallel to this idea of there being two elements of Kedusha Yisrael, Amecha, Mila, Lakoy, Chalakoy, the individual, the Tzibur, etc., has a parallel also in Asesh Bokares. I've argued this in the past, and that is the two Asesh Bokares are Mila and Korban Pesach. B'damai Chayi, B'damai Chayi, and they're linked in that you can't bring Korban Pesach unless you're Nimol, or even if you have Avadim and so on, who need, or Banim, Avadim, who need a Mila, you can't bring a Korban Pesach. So they're very, very strongly connected and linked. But the idea seems to be that one is the idea of Bris on an individual level, and the other is Bris on a Tzibur level. And that's what I always try to explain, that the Mechilta on the Sifrei of a strange Havamina that Rashi quotes in Parshas Bo and also in Bamidbar, and that is that the Havamina of the Sifrei and Havamina, that any time during the year when you're Mizgayer, you have to bring a Korban Pesach. Kamash Malan, no. Only on Pesach. So why would anybody think that, no one ever said, any time you're Mizgayer, you have to bring the Shnei Alechem. Or you have to bring, whatever carb. You have to bring the carbon, you know, you were Megayer on a Tuesday and you have to bring the Korban of Shabbos. Why Korban Pesach? The answer is because Korban Pesach is the bris of the Tzibur. So one might have thought that, you know, when you join up to Klal Yisrael, you know, Amecha Ami, Alakai Chalakai, that, you know, you have to join up in this way. And you have to bring Korban Pesach, because that's the bris of the Tzibur. Kamash Malon, no. But it is still the bris of the Tzibur, just so you don't bring it. You know, you wait till Pesach and bring it. You know,
so
like anybody else.
Delay, like
right, so I'm saying that's what I'm trying to show, that the only thing it doesn't add, it doesn't take away Goyus, a regular bris milah. But certainly it's not a coincidence that bris milah is the bris and it adds Kedusha for Yisrael, and it's also one of the, you know, one of the three ingredients of Geirus. That's surely not a coincidence, although there is a huge debate, you know, whether or not we can be mechalik ever between them. Like Nolan Mahol and all sorts of other... is it the same Mila? You know, is it the exact same Mila or not? Milas Geirus and Milas Arla. Right. All sorts of cases. Tapastam Bris, you know, Machmas Achiv. You know, or a machasachim, yeah.
There's a sugya in Pesachim, who's kosher for shechita, right? So like a meshulim may be possible for shechita, whereas an aral may be kosher.
Yeah.
Is that not mean we're...
Could be. I mean, again, because the meshumad is lacking, you know, at a tzibur level. Yeah. Could be. Anyways, these are some of the issues. Okay, so that's in terms of one halakha. That's the Mishnah, harasa shalom b'kedusha requires a... That's just the fact that... requires a pigeon, a bet. Okay. The other aspect of the Mishnah, of course, the fact that it doesn't qualify as a Bechor L'Nachal. So let's hold off on that for just a second, because that's a big, long discussion. Let me just get rid of some of the shorter discussions first. We mentioned this halacha, so let's just, you know, Kivin Debali Adenu, we'll finish up with it. Machlokas in the Gemara here on Mem Zayin Amin Aleph, whether Goy Shaba Al... I'm sorry, Yisrael... Two things. Goy Shaba Alevia is a Levi. Maybe a Levi possible, but is a Levi. That's point number one. Moreover, the... Right. Goy Shaba Alevi is one. Moreover, there's 2 days in the Gemara, and we paskin that even Yisrael Shaba Alevia is Potter and Pidgin. That day the Gemara is two days. The first day in the Gemara was not, because Mishpachosam Lebesav Osam, Mishpachas Avkri, Mishpacha... Mishpacha same lo kriya mishpacha. Mishpacha is defined by the father. Then the Gemara says, no, maybe pidgin aben is different because of peter rechem. And as we discussed, that that is very interesting from a pidgin aben point of view. Okay, but this basic idea that the mother, if the mother is a Yisrael, if the mother is a Leviya, that the child will be a Levi, even though the father is a non-Jew, is very, very intriguing. After all, if we say mishpacha sa'im lo kriya mishpacha, so how could this be so? So here it's just worthwhile to speak very quickly about Ravelvel's discussion on this topic, which relates to two things. Ravelvel discusses this, Rav Chaim's discussion on this topic. You know, because Sirabiya Perek Tezvav Halacha Tes, which I think I told you to look at. He discusses then the problem of what happens if you have a ger who marries a Yisraelis. Now, Ger is a Ger. He has Kedushas Yisrael. The issue is, if he marries a Yisraelis, does the Vlad, does the child have any Ger characteristics? Well, what difference does it make? Ger is a perfectly valid citizen. The answer is there continue to be certain dinim of a Ger, right? Certain limitations and also certain rights. Limitations in terms of, being a judge, srara, those kind of issues. It's one thing to investigate. We're not going to look at that now. But in terms of expansions or rights, a ger can marry a mamzeres. And vice versa, the surei kahal, in other words, mamzer le'yavo b'kal Hashem, doesn't apply to a ger. Okay. Because since he's ba, his origins are b'chutz le'kahal, so he doesn't have psulei kahal. Okay. So the question is, what about a ger shenasa Yisraelis, and the child is what? The child can marry a mamzer or not? So that's a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ran. The Rambam says that the child cannot marry a mamzer, even though the father is a ger, that those attributes are not passed down. And the and the Ran is cholek. Ran says no. After all, mishpachas av kriya mishpacha. When it comes to being a member of Shevet Ruvain or Shimon or Levi, or being a Kohen or Yisrael or a Levi, the father always determines. So here, the father determines as well. Ger. So that is the machlokas between the Rambam and the Ran. So the Reb Chaim says, on the surface, can't we bring a raya for the Ran from our Gemara here in Becharos, called this Gemara? After all, this Gemara says that this Gemara seems to say that if you have an akum, right? I'm sorry, if you don't have a father, if you have a guy, then holchem basar aim. The child is a levi. But where there is a father, then you go by the father. Right? Case of our Gemara is goy shaba alaviya. But if it had been ger shaba alaviya, what would be the halacha then? Presumably the child would not be a levi, which is true. If you had a ger who married a leviya, the child would not be a levi. So just like that's true with regard to levi, that should be true with regard to psule kohal. That's Reb Chaim's question against the Rambam. According to the Rambam, isn't the Gemara in Bechoros a problem? Well, however, says Reb Chaim, not so fast. From another point of view, the whole Gemara is problematic. After all, mishpacha sa'av kriya mishpacha. Right? And being a Kohen, being a Levi, being Yisrael, one would have thought that that's a din of mishpacha. And if it's a din of mishpacha, so let's say there is no father, or the father's a goy, he doesn't count.
The ger, the ger.
No, I'm not talking about a ger. Before I was talking about a ger. Yeah. Let's say the father's a goy. Like yeah. The Gemara's case is, you have a goy, he is involved with a levia. So we say the child is a levi. How can the child be a levi? There's no mishpacha. So Reb Chaim says, well, basically one could take one of two perspectives on this Gemara. One is that when we say mishpacha sa'av, kriya mishpacha, mishpacha sa'im, lo kriya mishpacha, that's only when there is a mishpacha sa'av. Right? You have a competition between mishpacha sa'av and mishpacha sa'im, so, you don't want to have, it's like, everybody has, starts multiplying all their names, to keep their maiden name and whatever. I mean, it becomes very confusing. Torah wanted one family name, mishpacha. Mishpacha sa'av kriya mishpacha, mishpacha sa'im lo kriya mishpacha. That's because mishpacha sa'im is not mishpacha, or because mishpacha sa'av is koveya, it's the decisive one. It wins out in the competition. But lu yitzuyar, there is no mishpacha sa'av, then mishpacha sa'im is mishpacha too. He doesn't exactly put it this way. I would just add that even within that, I think one could be choker, even when mishpacha sa'av kriya mishpacha. So that means that mishpacha sa'im is a secondary mishpacha? I don't know whether there's... We'll see whether there's a nafkamina maybe later on. There aren't so many nafkamina. Or what we're saying is there's only one mishpacha. Mishpacha sa'im could be mishpacha, but not when there's a mishpacha sa'av. When there's mishpacha sa'av, mishpacha sa'im is lo kriya mishpacha. She's not just the secondary mishpacha, she's not mishpacha. Maybe mishpacha, by definition, is a decisive kind of a category where you can't have a backup one or a secondary one. I'm not sure. So Reb Chaim says, initially, one would think that this Gemara in Becharos is telling us a very, very important halacha. And that is, mishpachas eim kriya mishpacha, kol she'ein mishpachas ha'av. Oh. Now, however, says Reb Chaim, doesn't like that, because of the Gemara in Balmasra. Gemara in Balmasra, Adav Kuf Yedalid, seems to say that what will happen in a similar case in Yerusha. Let's say there is no father. Let's say a Gioris. Let's say Gioris, Harasa, Shalobikdusha, Veledasa, Bikdusha. So she has children. They're her children. There's no father. Can she be Yoresh or not? So that's the machlokas in Baba Basra Daf Kuf Yudalet. That's, can a mother ever be Yoresh her children? So I think Rabbi Yosef Bar Shimon or somebody in the Gemara there says yes. And we pask in the halacha know that the mother is not Yoresh. So Rabbi Chaim says, you see from there that even where there's no Mishpachas Ahav, right, there's still no Mishpachas Ahim. So if that's true, then what do you do with our Gemara back with our Gemara here in Bechoros? Where the Gemara says that the child of a Goy and a Levi is a Levi. What's going on? So the truth is, Rabbi Chaim doesn't consider this, but maybe shiny Yerusha, right? Maybe it's really still true. The original analysis is correct. Mishpachas aim kuri mishpacha, as long as there's no mishpacha sa'av. Again, whether it's a secondary or not at all, you know, when there is, because it's the size of that, I'm not sure. And Yerusha is different. Maybe Yerusha only applies in the kind of relationship that isn't contingent upon there being no competition. Right? Namely, Yerusha requires the kind of intense connection that that is objective and that is omnipresent, not one that only exists in a vacuum. Therefore, even when it exists in a vacuum, it's not. In other words, mishpacha may not be enough for Yerusha either. Maybe you need more than that. Okay. But Reb Chaim doesn't like that, so he ends up saying the following chiddush. He ends up being mitzamtzem this gemara in Bechoros. Basically, what he says is, this Gemara in Bechoros is not establishing that Mishpachas Aim Kuri Mishpacha Kishayim Mishpachas Ahav at all. What it's telling us is that Pidyon, a ben, is different than other dinim. For example, he mentions it specifically, although he has no rayas to my knowledge, when it comes to, like, for example, this child, concrete Nafkamina, can this child be Oved, Avodas Leviim, in the Beis HaMikdash? Right? Let's say, to be a shorim or a mashorim or the masos. Can he do it or not? And what about in terms of matnos levia? Does this child get maisa or not? So Reb Chaim is saying no. Because from a mishpacha point of view, mishpacha same lo kriya mishpacha, this child is not a levi. It's just le'inyan kahal leviim, which requires kind of any link to Levihood. Levyship? Levihood? Levyship. I would say levity, but I can't say that. So, Leviati, or Te. So, any connection to that is sufficient for the Din of Pidyon Aven. Now, the truth is, Reb Chaim doesn't bring a raya for this idea, but I think one could bring a raya from the other day in the Gemara. Right? The Gemara says, l'halacha, that Yisrael, Sheba Leviya, or Yisrael who marries a Leviya, or say Baal, you can say nicely, Yisrael who marries a Leviya, that the child, we had 2 days in the Gemara, but we paskin that the child is not Chayiv and Pidyon HaBen. Now, everybody agrees that Olinyan Mishpacha, right, Mishpachosam Lebeis Avosam, that this child is a Yisrael, l'chol davar. And yet, l'inyan pidyon haben, we're saying any connection to being a Levi is enough. Except that I think that would be a good raya, except it's not a foolproof raya. Because one could say, that's according to the day in the Gemara, like the second day in the Gemara. But what we want to know is, even according to the first day in the Gemara, that the Gemara first says that even though Yisrael, who marries a Leviya, there would be a Chiyuv Pidyon HaBen. Nonetheless, Goy, Shabal, Leviya, there would be no Pidyon HaBen. So I think the question there would be as follows. And why? What's the reason for that difference? So one could say, Gufa, this is the point. That's once, it's true, once we introduce the Halacha, that Yisrael, the Leviya, is part of a Pidyon HaBen, it becomes easier to explain that Ben Goy Vilavia Linin Mishpacha is not a Levi at all, and nonetheless Linin Pidyon HaBen it's sufficient. But if, when we didn't know that about, or if we don't accept that psak, regarding Yisrael, or if it's independent of that psakim, if we do accept it, of Yisrael and Levia, then we might still say that we require mishpacha. And we can't say this halacha. Unless you say that really this would be true and it would be based on this all along. The only thing is it would be another reason to be mechalik between Yisrael and Levia and Goy and Levia. And that is what Reb Chaim ends up saying in the end, especially for the Ran. And that is, even if there's a din of Kahal, and any connection to Levia would seem to be enough, one might have said that even if it isn't the din of Mishpacha, if there is a Mishpacha of the father, that also renders insignificant this concept of Tzad Levia. That's the Tzad Levia will work and work for Pidgin Aben, or maybe even for other things, if there are other things, it'll work in a vacuum. Not the Torah's Mishpacha. But it won't work when it's contradicted by Mishpacha. Reb Chaim says that in the end to explain the Ran. So basically, what Reb Chaim ends up saying is that there are totally different dinim here. One is a din of Kahal, and one is a din of Mishpacha. One, even Levi Abbas Goy, which seems to be a Levi, either a Levi Kosher or a Levi Pasul, is dafka le'inyan things like Pidgin Aben, but not le'inyan Mishpacha. What I'm suggesting is that on the contrary, maybe the exception is the Sugya and Baba Basra and Nachala. Maybe Nachala requires not only a relative Mishpacha, but an absolute Mishpacha. And as such, maybe one could go back to saying that Mishpacha Sa'im Kriya Mishpacha as long as there is no vacuum. That doesn't necessarily mean that she's a secondary Mishpacha when there's a primary Mishpacha. Maybe, like I said, that is a decisive halacha. But then we'd have a very different idea. Then maybe the nafkamina would be even l'inyan, being oved, being mishorer, being mishoar, being makabel matanos, etc.
Where is this reply?
Perek tezvav hichos yisurei bia. Halacha, what is it, yud aleph? What did I say it was? Halacha tes. Now, what he says in the end is what he suggests in terms of Goy is as follows. He says the following. He says, let's say you have a Yisrael who marries a Levia, or a Kohenes who marries a Levia, for that matter, a Kohen who marries a Levia. So how come there also you don't say this idea that there's a Tzadle Bishabo? He's bothered by the following continuation of the Gemara. Gemara says that let's say you have a Goy Shaba al Kohenes. The first case was a Goy Shaba al Levia. Let's say you have a Goy Shaba al Kohenes. So the Gemara says very, very clearly that if that happens, the child requires a Pidgin Aben. Right? How could that be? The child of a Levi and a Goy doesn't require a Pidgin Aben, but the child of a Levi and a Kohen does require a Pidgin Aben. Kohen is less of a poter than Levi. Strange Gemara, right? But the Gemara explains why. Why? Because Goy, Shabbat, Leviya does not constitute Chilul, or if it is Chilul, Alpha P, that there is Chilul, Kedusha, nonetheless, there is Levius. Kohen becomes a chalal or a chalala, therefore the shame kahuna is paka, and therefore you have like a zar. That's what the Gemara says. And therefore the child is a regular ben Yisrael who requires a pidgin aben. That's the Gemara. Tulsus already points out a very, very important idea. Va'afilu kedushas levia paka mina, v'garim levia eshes kohen shenish beis af agav de mifsala mitruma lo paka mina kedushas alinin heislaim. Aber Kohenes, die Kedushasa Migufa, Asya, Kishem is Kalalas, Paka Kedushasa Legamri. Tosa says, really, Tosa is just saying what the Gemara says. It's just an amazing thing, though, so it's worth repeating. Namely, what bothered Tosa is, why don't we say that every Kohenes is also a Levia? Right? The Kohenim were are they having a...
No.
What? Okay. So the I won't go for too much longer. I guess we'll have to finish the other ones the next time. But the every Kohen is also Levi, right? Levi is the bigger category. So you see from this sugya that it's not true. Because the Kohenes, right, was Nischalva Mikdushas Kohuna, but isn't she also a daughter of, you know, of Levi? That's what Tosa says. You see from here, Vafila Kedushas Levia Paka Mina. Her Kedushas, it's an interesting phenomenon. Her status as a Levi is a function of her Kohuna. Tosa doesn't even say that. But let me add, but you have to say that, meaning Reb Chaim points out, the Yavah Gemara Nivamos, right, the Gemara Nivamos dot Pei Vav Beis, the Gemara says that Torah in 24 places calls Kohanim Levim, or Levim Kohanim, or Kohanim Levim. Meaning a Kohen is part of a bigger category. A Kohen is a subset of Leviyah. So what's, and not only that, but the Gemara says, and therefore it might have Nafkamina in terms of Matanos, in terms of Meiser. So Reb Chaim says, you see clearly that a Levi is a subcategory of a Kohen. So how can the Levi be worse? How can the Kohen Levi be worse than the Levi Levi? It's like we're saying that the because Kedushas Kohuna is greater and its demands are more ambitious, therefore, you know, if you fall, you know, you're not a Levi. You don't get the backup of being a Levi. Well, why not? So one could have said, because a Kohen and a Levi are different chalos completely. But the Gemara says that the Torah calls Kohanim Leviim, and maybe you can even have a Matnas Kohuna. So what's going on? So Reb Chaim says, what you have to say is the following lumdus. What you have to say is that every Kohen, Betoras Kohen, has a Din Levi. But not because of the common denominator. It's midin is kahuna. Kahuna and Leviya, and this is where Reb Chaim says it, the kahal of Yisrael, Levi, Kohen, are three different families, mutually exclusive. Al-Pidin, one negates the other. However, being a Kohen, Betoras, being a Kohen, it's not because as a Kohen you're also a member of the Levi clan. There's Levius in kahuna. But the Torah's the kahuna. And therefore, when you lose the kahuna...
Israelis also.
What?
There's also Israelis.
I don't know about that. Maybe. But that's an interesting question.
Right.
That's an interesting question. Or whether it's unique, you know, to it. That's an interesting question. It doesn't discuss that there.
The Gahanim are the Levi.
Right.
But actually, the Gahanim are the Levi.
Exactly. That's what we're saying. Exactly. So in the that's what he says, basically. So he says that's the pshat, because he wants to know the following thing. He says, listen, according to the Rambam, right? The Rambam says you have this ger. He married a Yisraelis. The child is going to be a Yisrael in matters of kol. So he said, why? But it should go by the father, right? So he said, that was the question from Bechoros. It should go by the father when there is a father outside of a goy. So he said, no. We see from the sugya in Bechoros that anything having to do with mishpacha is always the father. Okay? So why is it that the Leviyah, the answer is because of the din of Kahal. Kahal Leviyah, that you have. You don't have Mishpachas Levi, but you have Kahal Leviyah. So he says, oh, but if you had a Kohen who married a Leviyah, right? If you had a guy who married a Kohenes, or a Kohen who married a Levi, you wouldn't say that there's Leviyah. Right?
According to what you're saying, he says Aaron was more powerful than Moshe Rabbeinu.
Because he was a Kohen. Well, in one respect.
He came out...
He had Leviyahs inside Leviyah of his kahuna.
And he took over, I mean... But
well, I don't know if he's not powerful, but in his powers, you know, it's hard to gauge. I mean, but he was different. Kedushas kahuna. Keser kahuna. Very serious... Moshe Rabbeinu with Keser Malchus. It's also pretty good.
You always have a double Shem and Moshe.
Yeah, because Moshe Rabbeinu was the great Lakom v'Yisrael Kamoshe. And we're not talking about who's greater here. We're just talking about how it works. They're different. Keser Kuna, Keser Malchus. Keser Nevuah.
Of the Gehuna is the Leviyah, but the Gehuna is the higher up.
Right. Even there's Leviyah. So basically, Reb Chaim says as follows. Kohen Levi Yisrael, they cancel each other out. You can't just say, oh, you know, he has a little Levi in him, it's fine, it's good. Because being a Kohen is different than being a Levi, being a Levi, by implication, says being a Yisrael is different than being a Levi, being a Kohen, etc.
And with this
a Ger, just one second, with regard to Psulei Kohol, he says, that's different. Because there you have a Ger and you have a Yisraelis. The Ger isn't the chalos, you know, an anti-Kohol. It's zero. So, good. B'toras Kohol, you don't have to choose. It's not a din of mishpacha, it's a din of Kohol. I can be a member of more than one Kohol, as long as these Kohols don't contradict. Being a member of Kahal Yisrael, Kahal Levi, and Kahal Kohen contradict each other. But being a member of the group that Yesh Lahem Psulei Kohol, and the groups that Ein Lahem Psulei Kohol, that's not a stira, just that one has it and one doesn't. That's Reb Chaim's analysis. He says, that's why the whole Gemara B'choros, even the Levi Kohen, that's not a problem for the Rambam. Ah, but having said that, so let's go back to another point. So this idea, so this in the I once saw years ago in the Haggadah, they put out this Brisker Haggadah. You know, or two volumes of it already, I think. I saw in two volumes, maybe. Yeah. I think in the first volume. Anyway, so they have, you know, nice thing, a very uneven, you know, book, like any anthology would be. But they have some nice things. Anyway, so I've, you know, leafed through it occasionally just to see. And on the so on Hallel, they have Yomrna Beis Aaron, right? Kili Alam Chazdo. So they quote there the name of Michal Feinstein, who was sort of Elvis son-in-law. So he says, you know, he quotes the Sreb Chaim. Says, Beis Aaron is not such a simple thing, because they are the Levium. Right? And the Kohanim are not really the Levium at all, except that there's a Tzad Leviya in the Kahuna. So he says, for that reason, and that's what the Gemara means in B'choros. So he says, but for that reason, he says, that explains a difficulty. Because we say, Vayisialdu al Nishpachosam, right? That they had Bate Leviya and Bate Kahuna. That Yocheved was given. Kesa Kahuna and Leviya, essentially, right? So the question is, some Farshim ask, that isn't really true, because Yocheved was given Kesa or Beis Kahuna, but she wasn't really given Beis Levi. Beis Levi was given to the children of Levi. Gershon, Merari, Kahas, not from Amram and Yocheved. They also had the status of Levi. So what do you mean, by Yisialdu, Leveisam, Amishmachosam, whatever the, you know, Nasan Lehem, you know, Kahuna Ulevia. It's not really true. So he says very sharply, he says, in light of Reb Chaim, it's true, because there are two dinim of Levius. There's a din of Levi being a Levi. And then there's also halacha that every Kohen, B'toris is Kahuna, but only B'toris as Kahuna has a din Levia. Because that was given to Yocheved. That was given to her. Now there's Kahas and Gershon, the Kahas outside of Amram, and Gershon and Merari. They're tracking me down. Just one second. Just one second. Hello? Hi, Maria, can I call you back? I'm in the middle of this year. Okay, everything okay? Okay, I'll call you back. Out of town children. Mishpacha. So she also knows that I'm going over time. We'll finish up in a second. So the point may be that what was I saying? That the tzad leviya of that's a special halacha. That the tzad leviya of the kahuna is itself dependent on the din kohen. And that would be an explanation of this gemara. So I think I have several perspectives on this gemara. Now, having said that, so I think I have two other points to make very quickly. Yeah, before we end.
I'm still struggling with this basic idea of Khan. Khan gets this critical point in his analysis when he wants to be Bechadish. It's a very interesting idea that instead of three Kalos, they're totally mutually exclusive one from the other.
Right.
He proves it from the case of the Goy that's Baal HaKohenes and that Philip Kedusha Sabiya Pataminei. I don't understand. I'm struggling with the idea. Why can't he just say very simply, I think this is what Tosfos is saying, is it's not the fact that she's a Kohen, the Kohenes, is mafkia somehow the Kedusha's lady, but it's the same Pagan the same Hi'ilo with the Akum that destroys the Kedushas Kohenes Shabbat also destroys the Kedushas Leviyah.
Because if the Kedushas Leviyah here is because of the common denominator family connection rather than being Noveya from the Kohuna itself, then why should it be better than Goy Shabbat Leviyah?
Because that's exactly the point that I think you alluded to this already, is that the Gemara has a very interesting formulation on Yibamos Samachas in here, because the Kohenis is very special in this case, that she becomes a Zar. Something very fundamental happens that doesn't happen with the Levia, that has the same deal with an Akum. The fundamental change that the Kohenis undergoes is very different, and that takes away both of her levels.
So that would be the other, that was what I mentioned, that would be the only other way to explain it, but that isn't so obvious. You could read the Gemara when the Gemara says Zara, that what the Gemara means is, meaning her Kedushas Kahuna is gone. What you're saying is more than that. This is going to be this next point that I was going to make, and that is that instead of saying that the Kedushas Kahuna is gone, and therefore with it the Tzad HaLeviyah Shabbatocha, which is different than the common denominator Leviyah, what we're really saying is that the transformation into, you can only get transformed through Chilul if you're a Kohenis. Lu Yitzuya, there was such a thing possible in Leviyah, then that would happen too. But it can't. Because the degree of Kedusha isn't there, and therefore the impact of Chilul isn't there. But Lu Yitzuya, she could become a Chalala, that would be Mafkia Dinei Leviyah too.
Really, and I don't think that's such a surprising thing, because we find that Kohenis is different in general.
Right, so I'll get to that in a second. But that could be, right, but that could still be for a very different reason. That could just be because of the higher demands of Kedusha, and it could be limited to the Dine Kahuna, doesn't have to extend beyond that. The Chiddush here is that it extends also beyond that. What I'm suggesting, and what you're saying also, is that there's a mechanism to do that here, and that is, the higher status, also allows for the chalos of a transformation, and Lu Yitzur, the chalos transformation in Leviyah, you could have that too. I'm just saying, I think there are two ways to read the Gemara. I think the second way is Mechudash too, to be honest. And therefore I think it's like almost a 50, even though I agree with it, and it's sort of where I was leading to, but I think it's a 50-50 kind of, in my opinion, that's an instinct. You could disagree.
Did the Rebbe Shlomo told Moshe Rabbeinu to give the Kohen to Aaron, or he give it by himself?
That's a good question. It's a long topic. The Medrash says that if Moshe Rabbeinu had been more forthcoming, originally, when he was chosen to be the shliach of Klal Yisrael, if he hadn't protested so much, then he would have been given the Kohuna as well as the Malchus.
Right.
But there are two days in Chazal about that. A, whether or not he would have had both. Or number two, when did he lose his kahuna? Because he had it during the Yemei HaMiluim. Did he really have full kahuna? Three, did he give it up on his own? Was he told to get? There are different views in Chazal.
On his own.
Yeah. There are different views. What? Korach wanted to know, But you're right. Let me just get back to this point. So I think this is a very interesting issue, two perspectives, whether you could disagree with Reb Chaim or not about Leviyah and Kahuna. But having said that, I want to go back to one more point, and that is as follows. This idea that Leviyah, Shenivalai Deakum, doesn't have this kind of impact. So the Gemara uses the expression here that... right? The time the Levia Shanishbesa Shanivala Bilas Nos, Nosla Meiser Biochelis. Ela Kohenes, Kibidi Baila Habazara, etc. So we're now suggesting two explanations. But it's also interesting to note the actual chilik itself. And that is the simple reading of the Gemara is that Levi also has Kedusha. There's something called Kedushas Levia. And the only thing is, it's not Nischalel al Yedei Goy. And for example, the Dine Kedima that we find in the Sug in the end of Horios, about there being this hierarchy of Kohen Yisrael, Kohen Levi Yisrael, would work according to that as well. Sorry?
Isn't
that Darkei Shol? Not only, there's also pictures of Ribui Mitzvos and other things. Now, but I think it's also possible to read the Gemara, that the Gemara's Lav Dafka, it doesn't mean Leviyah B'Kedushas HaKaima so much, What it really is saying is a more basic distinction, and that is that kahuna is about kedusha, and leviyah is really not about kedusha. It is a certain minui, but it really doesn't have kedusha at all, and that's the real point. I mean, it is a status, but it doesn't have kedusha. And the fact that maaser is chulin, and the fact that there are no, you know, there's no equivalent of tumas mace, you know, isur, you know, also the tamal mace, and the fact that there are no yuchsin restrictions on a levi. All these may point in the direction that Levi, and even the history of how, you know, Leviim are matana from Klal Yisrael to Kohanim, so we could say, oh, they're like an in, you know, in-between rung, less Kedusha than them, more than them. But it could be they're really Yisraelim, Gemurim, but with the special din of all a result of the function. And then you have to examine the function in light of that. And I think what also one needs to do is examine the whole concept of Zar Linyan Levi, Yisrael Lelevi, as opposed to Yisrael LeKohen, whether it's a quantitative differences or qualitative differences, even among Leviim themselves, whether or not there aren't isn't the concept of Zar in the function, even though they're Begavra, there's no idea of Zar at all. Like the Shoarim and the Shoarim, the Shoarim and the Mishorim, or the you know, Alakatef people, if they take each other's job, the Gemara speaks about being Chayv Misa and Erchen. So it could be that you don't have something parallel to that in kahuna. Just as we just pointed out, there are things in kahuna that, you know, you don't have even the common denominator of Levi. There are things in Levi, because it may just be that the whole concept of Levi is about the job. It's not about the personal status or stature at all. And I've suggested in the past, this also may be an explanation for the din of Nispar de Chavila. We say that, Vikidashto, first comes Kohen, then comes who? Levi, then comes Yisrael. But if there's no Kohen, then the Sparda Chavila. Then Rashi has three deos, whether that means, the next line is Levi, or it means you can choose whoever you want, Levi or Yisrael, or Dafki shouldn't choose Levi. So the idea that Levi comes next, we understand. That's a hierarchy. If one guy isn't there, you just bump everybody up. But why wouldn't there be such a hierarchy, and why Dafka would there not be, why we're not allowed to have the hierarchy, even if you want, why would it be worse than the Yisrael? So, again, the Rav once explained that, and he was a Levi, so, you know, for him it was Nogel Maisa, he liked the day in Rashi that you shouldn't give it to the Levi. So he explained, because if you give it to the Levi, what you're saying is that the Kidashto of Kahuna is just a quantitative thing. You know, and if you don't have the going, you give it to the Levi, this is a way of accentuating that it's a din in Kahuna. But I think one could go a step further with that, as he didn't say, at least not that time, and that is that this is a way of showing that it's really, Vikidashto is a din in Kohen. There is no din of Kedusha Slavi. It's a din in Sheirus, in function.
And what about the Leviyah?
About?
You said the Gehenna is Kedusha.
Yeah. Nevuah, you asked?
Nevuah.
No, Nevuah is not Kedusha.
Nevuah. No,
yeah, but
came by nature, anybody could become a Nevuah.
No, I'm not saying anybody could become, but it isn't a din in Kedusha. It's a din in, either it's a gift, or according to the Rambam, it's an accomplishment. But it doesn't show a different level of Kedusha.
It has no base.
It doesn't have any greater Kedusha.
Of a chain reaction.
Right, there's nothing a Navi can do. I mean, we listen to the Navi, of course. But in terms of his function,
Kohanim are not
Leviim. No, but Kohanim have for a certain function in the Mikdash, and so Leviim have a certain function, right? Leviim don't have a function; they're just authority figures. We listen.
Leviim
dependent
on the Gaon to give them to eat or whatever the service.
No, not Leviim. No. No, Leviim. No, Leviim were they had a regular job, Nevi'im or Leviim? Leviim. Yeah, Leviim got Maaser, right. Leviim,
so
right.
They were dependent on the Kohanim.
No, they weren't dependent on the Kohanim. They were dependent on Yisrael, who gave them the... They got Maaser Rishon from Yisrael, not from the Kohanim. Yeah.
Is Tosfos disagreeing at that point? Because the existence of Kiddush's Levi Begufa of the Kohanis would seem strange if there's no analog by the actual Leviim themselves.
Say that one more time?
Tosfos is discussing...
Which Tosfos?
The Tosfos that we just mentioned.
Yeah, yeah.
The Kiddush's Levi of Hakamina, but...
This is the last point I wanted to make, and that is that for Reb Chaim and Reb Michael Feinstein, that idea, I think this would raise an interesting question, and that is whether the Tzad Leviyah of kahuna is a din of kedusha. And this might be part of it. And that's why it's paka. A, because it's noveya from the shame kahuna, and B, that, you know, and that would be an interesting question. Well, again, I don't know if you'd have the case ever, because she always becomes a zara and a chalala. But maybe the levia tzad of kahuna, if that is really, if there really is such a thing, is separate and independent. Like that's a question at least to consider and to ask. Okay, we're going to stop here. I'm sorry I went a little late. Next time we still have a big agenda. We want to still do Gershon's Gayer and Zera Bigyusa Ha, Evan Ha.